Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as Pastor said, my name is Albert Samuel Milton. You can call me as Albert, that's my first name, or you can call me as Sam. It's amazing that just last month, it has been decided that I'm coming here. Before that, I never planned or dreamed of coming, but God has a plan, so He brought me here. I strongly believe God has a plan for each one of you. How many of you believe? God has a plan for each one of you. You may not know the plan, but God knows the plan. And He executes it. He brings it to pass. I was asking God to tell me what I should share here in Uganda. And God, the first thing God told is to tell that He is a good father. After I came to Uganda, I went to some villages in Busia and out there in Jinja and other places. When I see the villages, little children long for daddy's love. The little ones long for love. They are looking for a daddy figure in their life. They are looking for someone who embraces like a daddy. I know now why God told me to share that God is a good, good father. I spoke to Pastor Ken to select the song that reflects God is a father. Jesus is the first to tell or introduce that God is a father. No one in the Bible until the time of Jesus ever called God as a father. But Jesus, when He came, Jesus never asked you and me to do anything that He Himself did not practice. Jesus prayed and He said, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 36, He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Remove this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will." So every time when Jesus prayed, Jesus always addressed God as Abba, Father. And one time Jesus said, "My Father, You always heard My prayers, and even now You will hear My prayers." He did that prayer when He rose Lazarus from dead. So Jesus always had this relationship of daddy and son, because Jesus is the only begotten Son. The interesting thing is, Jesus introduced God to you and me today as a daddy, as a father, which never happened. Moses could not call God as a father. Abraham could not call God as a father. No one could ever call until the time of Jesus God as a father. But Jesus, every time He said, "Our Father in heaven," when He taught them to pray, every time Jesus always introduced and addressed God as a father. If you see here in the book of John, chapter 20 and verse 7, Jesus spoke these words after resurrection, but before He went to heaven to be with the Father. Before His ascension, but after the resurrection. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to Me." In another translation it says, "Do not touch Me. Do not touch Me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to My brothers." He's talking about the disciples, 12 disciples primarily. "Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to My Father and your Father." Jesus was telling, God is your Father, not my Father alone, but He is your Father also. He said, "My God and to your God." And this is something amazing. When you read the scriptures like this, that God has given us a privilege through Jesus Christ to call Him as Abba, Father. The meaning Abba means Tata, right? In your language it is Tata, right? Tata. Tata or Daddy. That means Daddy. That's the Aramaic word. Abba means Aramaic word. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, how He preserved certain words in the exact language. The word Abba is an Aramaic word and would most closely to be translated as Daddy. It was a common term that the small young children, they call Abba, Abba in Israel. Even today, if you go to Israel, you'll be hearing the little children calling their daddy as Abba, Abba, meaning daddy. It's no difference than Abba and daddy. And oftentimes we see as a father, but we need to know he's a daddy. He's a daddy God. Our God is a good daddy. That is the revelation from the word Abba. And this really inspired me. I lost my father a few years back. After I lost my father, this is the verse God really started to reveal. I am your daddy. I am your father. And today you may be sitting here with no mother or father. You may be living alone. But the reality and truth is you are not alone. You have a good daddy and you have our Lord Jesus who are always with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always until the end of the age. So he is always with us. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, Bible says, and because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son, that is Jesus, into our hearts to crying Abba Father. The same way how Jesus was calling the God of universe as Father, the same spirit has been given to you, the sonship and daughtership, so you can call God as a daddy. And that is the privilege. That's what Galatians 4 and verse 6. And Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. As long as a daddy or mother is there, the small little children, especially 5 and under, they don't care about today. They don't care about tomorrow. They don't care about any day because they know that daddy is with them. They know their mama is with them. They know their parents are with them to take care. So fear comes when you lose the focus of daddy or mama. And today God is your daddy. That's why we can say that we are no longer a slave to fear, but we are the sons and daughters of God. So you are a sons and daughters of God. So cast out every fear, and because you have a good daddy to take care of you. I wanted to switch to a different topic because we need to know that Jesus paid a price to make all of us to call God as a daddy. He paid a price. Sin separated all of us from God. But Jesus died on the cross for you and me to bring the relationship back. So today you and I can call him as daddy God or father God because of what Jesus finished on the cross. Year after year, Israelites, they have to bring a lamb for the forgiveness of their sins. If I am a sinner, just imagine I'm living before Jesus came. I have to find a lamb. Just imagine this pulpit is the lamb. So I have to bring my lamb. So I have to bring my lamb to the priest. So once I bring the lamb to the priest will examine the lamb. So after the lamb has been examined, then the priest will say, lay your hands upon the lamb. This is the old covenant way how they do it. So after I lay my hands on the lamb, my sin, all the sins that I committed, pass upon the lamb. And then what happens is the priest, being a priest, the priest will take the lamb and sacrifice the lamb. The priest will sacrifice the lamb. So after the lamb has been sacrificed, what happens is, after the lamb has been sacrificed, my sins are forgiven. Because I laid my hands on the lamb, my sins are passed upon the lamb, and the lamb has been sacrificed. So that is called as sin offering. And then what happens is, the priest will take the lamb, and the priest will take the lamb and take it to burn the lamb. He will burn the lamb, which is called as a burnt offering. So during that time, the righteousness of the lamb will come upon me. So basically what happened is I bring the lamb to the priest and the priest examines the lamb and the lamb is, I have been asked to lay my hands on the lamb and then my sin has been transferred upon the lamb and the lamb has been sacrificed. So my sins are forgiven and the lamb has been burnt, which is called as a burnt offering. While burnt offering is happening, the righteousness of the Lamb came upon me. So I go home year after year sinless. And that is the practice, or that is what God told year after year to do. And that's what they have been doing throughout the year. Until Jesus came. When Jesus came, He completely stopped that process of sacrificing the lamb. So as you see here in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from goats. And then this is the time when the Egyptians were captivating all the Israelites for several thousand years. God told Moses to find the lamb, offer the lamb as a sacrifice, and then apply the blood on the doorpost and the, and also put it on the sides of the wall. So on the doorpost and the sides. So put it on the two doorposts and the lintel. So that's the right word. So after they put those blood, when the angel of the Lord came to judge the Egyptians, when the blood is there on the home, just imagine this is the home. If the blood is on the doorpost and the lintel, so the angel of the Lord who comes to bring judgment upon Egyptians, he will see the blood, he will pass that home, and the angel will go to the next home and see. Wherever the blood is, the angel will pass over the home. That is called as Passover. Even today, Israelites are celebrating the Passover because they have been redeemed from the judgment or saved from the judgment because of the blood. Today, the blood of Jesus, the blood of our Lord Jesus saved you and me from all unrighteousness. That's what Bible says. His blood cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Today, the blood of Jesus is applied upon our lives because you all called upon the name of the Lord. Bible says, anyone who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you all are saved, at least most of you. So you today it's an opportunity for you, if you are not saved, to call upon the name of the Lord and repent, and God can able to bring salvation into your life. As you see here, not only that, God told in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 8, they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. It's not just sacrificing the lamb. It's not just sacrificing the lamb and applying the blood. But it is also roasting the lamb and eating the lamb the same day. That's what God told Israelites to do. If you see here, they roast the lamb and they ate it. And then this is what kind of equivalent to that of a burnt offering. As we see here, Jesus was, the wrath of God came upon Jesus. You and I supposed to receive the wrath of God. But Jesus took the place of the lamb. Whatever they did for the lamb, the first is sacrificing the lamb and applying the blood and then burning the lamb or roasting the lamb as per Exodus 12:8. All these things Jesus did for you and me physically by carrying the cross, shedding his blood. He has been beaten, he has been smitten like a lamb. And then the wrath of God came upon Jesus that he took your place and my place. Today, you and I are redeemed. You and I are completely free because of what Jesus finished on the cross. By accepting what Jesus did for your place and my place, that makes us sons and daughters of God. Because sin separated all of us from God, but the finished work of Jesus on the cross united us back to the place where how God created us to be. That is the gospel. As we see here in the Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13. Chapter 13 and verse 12. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. So the sacrifice happens. So Jesus suffered for you and me outside the gates. And through the blood, we are sanctified today. And this is for you and me today. And we see here in Hebrews 10:10. For God's will for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. As we see here in this passage, it is the blood of Jesus that made us holy. We are living a holy life because Jesus made us holy. Since he made us holy, we are start living a holy life because If you take a child and a father, lot of nature of the father goes to the child. The same way as you and I walk with God, the nature of God you will walk with. Since He made you holy by the blood of Jesus, today you are walking holy. Since you are righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross, today you are walking righteously because the nature of God has been imparted upon you. And it is amazing to see here in the 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but He was raised to life in the spirit. It's so amazing to see that Jesus suffered for us and He paid the price for us. Same like that lamb, as you see here, the same lamb. This represents Jesus. The Passover lamb is the Jesus for us today to come closer to God, for our sins to be cleansed and forgiven, to made us holy, to made us righteous because of what Jesus did. What you and I are doing, we are accepting what Jesus did on the cross. It has been 500 years since the Reformation happened. Basically, one man came and he said, it is just the faith that brings you salvation. It happened 500 years back. And it's amazing to see that every day that's bringing life and life in abundance. The believing in Christ that brings life to millions of souls around the world. Today, millions of people are being saved just by having faith. Just by believing in what Jesus did on the cross. That transforms our life. At one point, we have always, I can't do this. I can't be a holy person. I can't be a righteous person. But when Jesus took the cross, He made it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can accomplish everything by the grace of God. I am righteous by the grace of God. And I will live righteous by the grace of God. So Jesus removed the negativity in our life and He called us to live in the finished work that He has done for us. So today you are more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. So these are all the scriptures because of what Jesus did for you and me. And you are the recipient of these promises. You and I are the recipient of these promises that Christ has given us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Today, your new identity is you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus made you righteous. Your sin was put upon Jesus on the cross. And the righteousness of Jesus came upon you. The same way how I mentioned, I brought the lamb. I lay my hands upon the lamb to transfer all my sin upon this lamb's account. And all the righteousness of the lamb came upon me. The same way God put the world's sin upon Jesus on the cross. And Jesus suffered for you and me. He died on the cross by shedding His blood. And then the righteousness of Jesus came upon you and me. So today your identity and my identity is a righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you know this, when you renew your mind, because Bible says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world, but be ye renewed by the transforming of your mind. As your mind renews with the truth of you are righteousness of God, you will start living righteously. If someone is calling you with a bad name and negative name, you start always thinking about bad and negativity. But when someone call you with your right name, your name that you have been called for, then you will be live accordingly because you are the righteousness of God, as Bible says here. And as you see here, this passage says in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11, once upon a time, millions of Jewish people, they were following Moses led by God, and they were asking Moses, we are thirsty. We are so thirsty. We need some water. And Moses prayed to God, and God told Moses to strike the rock one time. But instead of hitting the rock one time, Moses struck the rock two times. But still the water came. The water came out of the rock. If you see 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and the rock was Christ. Basically, Jesus is the one, similar to comparing to the rock, who was struck down, who was totally, his body was totally torn down. Like I was going to Busia, I saw a lot of agriculture field. And a lot of field was so rough and it was so dry. And just like that, Jesus' body, He suffered physically because He wanted to bring a deliverance for us. He wanted to bring salvation for all humanity who believes in Him. And it is amazing to see that not only that, when they pierced the sword, when they pierced, water and blood gushed out of his near the belly. So we see that it is amazing that Jesus is the living water. He is the source of living water. Once a woman, Samaritan woman, came to Jesus and asked Jesus, and Jesus said, if you drink from me, you will never get thirst. And it is amazing that today Jesus is the source of everything. Jesus is our living water. Jesus once told the Pharisees, search the scriptures, you will find me. As you read the Bible, and this church is based on the Bible, this church is Bible-based church. I'm so happy to hear the testimony of the church. As you search the scriptures, you will find Jesus everywhere coming alive. Everywhere you see, it is all pointing to the Son of God. And that is so amazing that whenever people come to Jesus, Jesus points to God. Whenever we go to God, God points to the Son. There is so much amazing mutual bond. It is so amazing when the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and Jesus reveals the Father. And Father says, look back, my Son, hear my Son's word. It is so amazing that the unity, that is so amazing. If you search the scriptures, you will see Jesus. And Jesus said, if you believe in me, out of your belly flows the rivers of living water. So rivers of living water will overflow. I happen to know that here Uganda is the source of Nile. This is the source of Nile. It is feeding so many millions of people. But the source is starting from Uganda. 200 years back in 1800, Pastor Zeddy told some people from probably like England or British. They came. They walked all the way from Egypt to find the source. Today, people are blessed in many ways, but they are looking for the source. Who is the source? Who is the source? Who is the source of life? Who is the source of living water? You and I are called to point people to Christ. Because Jesus is the source of living water. The same people, they are so curious. They want to know, yeah, we are blessed by Nile. It is so amazing. But where is the source? Where is the source? They walked for probably like months or years, maybe, I don't know. They walked long to find the source, that Uganda is the source of Nile. The same way, Jesus is the source of life. And Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And it is amazing to see that God called all of us to point people to Christ. And we see here, the same Nile is where Moses was put in a basket. Because Pharaoh ordered all the little children to be killed. But Moses was put in a basket. And then he was put in the river Nile. And he was floating on the Nile. And the daughter of Pharaoh, she took the basket. And she raised Moses. And we see here that the same Nile meant to kill Moses. The same Nile, we can see that God used. It's God who really used that to make Moses live. Not only that, God used the same water to be departed for millions of Jews to be saved from the captivity. When Moses led all the millions of people, God really departed the Red Sea. And we see that the same people got saved. It's amazing to see that sometimes the things that meant to harm you, God can able to change it for good, for His glory. Because God is, all things are possible with God. He can do amazing things. You cannot really imagine, our human minds cannot fathom how much good our God is. Our God is so amazing. Awesome God. He can do amazing things. The testimony is me standing here, planning just 1 month before and being here. That's a testimony for me personally. And you all have a testimony. You all have, everyone sitting here have a personal testimony how God is good and how good He is a good daddy. And the goodness of God is upon your life. And He loves and cares for you. He has a better future for you. Your past has no way compared to that of the future God has for you. Because God loves you so much. And we see here that oftentimes when I got saved, I always think I got to do this, I got to do that for God. But when I look at this passage, Mark chapter 3, Jesus selected 12 disciples primarily to be with Him. The reason why God saved us is to be with Jesus, to have the relationship with Jesus, to have the fellowship with Christ, to have the relationship with Daddy God, to have the relationship and fellowship. Because that is the primary thing. That is where you grow. That is where you've been getting nourishment. As you grow, God can able to lead you into the purpose that He called you to be. It's like you came to Christ as a wooden log. But when the wooden log is being given into the master's hand, the one who carves the wood, He chisels the wood to become a beautiful thing. The same way you and I are like this wood. When we got saved, we came into the hands of God. But Jesus, as a master, He is the master builder. He is building your life every day as you hear the word of Christ, as you read through the Bible, as the Spirit of God works in your life. He is chiseling your life, transforming your life to be something beautiful and amazing for His glory. You are the image of God. You have been created in the image of God. But it's been years that enemy have given you a wrong name. But it is time that God really transforms you and changes you. It is not something you got saved and struck on this earth until you go to heaven. No, you got saved and God is transforming you every day to become who God called you to be. As you see here in this passage, Romans 8:29, God called us to be transformed. Transformation happens day after day. Every day God is renewing us, changing us, shaping us. Your faith today is not same as 10 years back. Your walk with God is not same as 10 years back. You are ever increasing and ever progressing and ever increasing in God's glory and God's grace and God's love. So you are constantly growing in Christ. As you grow, you'll be shaped into a beautiful person you are that God called you to be. And you need to understand this very clearly. 10 years back, if you see, these are all the things you need. Like maybe like radio, you have a separate radio. Camera, it's a separate. I mean, like everything is separate. You need to have a big home to just to keep certain things. You know, like in general, I'm telling. But after that, now, just any phone, like just a small phone, you have all these things. Just your phone, you all have phone. And your phone has everything in it, camera and everything. So that the reason why I'm telling this is technology has been improving and increasing rapidly. But still, there is one thing that is always there. Even today, even advancement of the technology, you see a lot of news. This bank data has been stolen, or this credit card has been stolen, or these 10 million credit cards are stolen. You are hearing the news, irrespective of how much advanced everything is growing, the identity theft is still happening. So what is identity theft? This is the stealing of the credit cards and everything. The same way in US alone, like $25 billion has been lost so far in identity theft. Number one complaint in not only in US, all over the world is identity theft. Someone stealing what you got. Someone like hacking things. So this is happening. The reason why I'm telling is someone is telling I am this person, but they are not that person. It's kind of an identity swapping. So this is happening always. The same thing happened when God created you and me. He created in the image of God. But Satan, our devil, he came, the enemy came and changed our image to the image of the world. So that's the reason why oftentimes you call yourself, I'm so confused, I'm so addict, or I'm broken, I am really, I have no hope. So these are all the labels that enemy is sticking on you to believe that you are that person. But God created you in a different image. The image of God, the Son of God, the daughter of God. But this is what most of the time in your life, though you are a Christian, oftentimes you think, I am broken. I am totally addict. I'm supposed to be blamed. I'm a loser. I'm a mistake. I'm a stupid. So all these things is what enemy is labeling upon you. But this is not the label God is giving you. God has a different label. God is in the business of changing your identity to the identity of His Son, Jesus. That's why God is always in the business of changing. We see the same thing happen in the life of Gideon. Gideon was fearful. He was so fearful and he was so trembling. But God called him as a mighty warrior. God called him as a mighty warrior. But Gideon was trembling. Year after year, the Midianites and Amalekites, they come and steal the harvest. The Israelites, they were working throughout the year and they build everything. And after that, during the time of harvest, the Midianites and Amalekites, they come and the Israelites, they will hide in the cave. They just go back to the cave and hide because they cannot fight. They cannot fight Amalekites and Midianites. So the Amalekites and Midianites, they steal all the crop. They steal all the grown crop and they go back. So Israelites were suffering so much. They have been suffering so much. So one day, all the Israelites, they decided to pray. They decided to look upon their father. They look upon their God. So as they were praying to God, God told Gideon He said, go, go, go now, go. You are a mighty warrior. I'm giving you 300 people. You just go and win them and just battle with them and win them. It's amazing to see that Gideon was so fearful. He was telling, I'm from the least clan. I'm from very least and lowest person. See, these are the identity that Gideon had for himself. The world have put him, his whoever around him, he was telling, you are a fearful person. You are a little person. You are nowhere. But God has a different plan for Gideon. But God's plan will come to pass. It's amazing that God is in the business of changing the identity to the identity of his son, to the plan that he planned for you. The same thing God did with Jacob. Jacob means deceiver. But God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. So it is not new for God. This is the same thing God is doing today, that you are the sons and daughters of God. You are no longer orphans, and also you are not a loser. You are not anything that world calls you, but God is calling you as a son. You are a son indeed. And that is the good news for today. And as we see here, the same with Moses. Moses, if you see here in the book of Hebrews, Moses, though he was taken by Pharaoh's daughter raised him as a son of Pharaoh, but still Moses refused, because God did something in his life in such a way that Moses could refuse those Pharaoh thing, and then he became the person who could save the millions of people. So it's amazing that God is in the business, always he's doing this of changing your name. He sent his son to save the lost. God is the one who sent his son. God, our Father God, is the one who sent his son Jesus to save all of us from the lost. Several years back, I was living in Iowa. I was living in Iowa for several years. And as I was living in Iowa, one day my wife, she gave a big trash bag. She gave a trash bag, and then she told, put it in the dumpster. This is the dumpster. So put it in the dumpster. So while I was going, I had a car key in my hand, and also trash bag in another hand. So I was putting the trash bag. By mistake, I put my car key also into this dumpster, the same dumpster. So I realized, where is my key? My key, my car key and home key, everything is there. Car, home, office, every key is there. So I have only two options. Either I go back and make a duplicate keys for all these, or jump inside this dumpster, the same dumpster you see here, and get my key. If you are in that position, how many of you will jump into the dumpster and take your key? Okay, I see so many hands. See, you can see your locker key, every key is that key. So don't forget, now tell how many of you will jump in. Okay, almost everyone will jump in. I did the same. I was looking around to make sure no one is watching me. Because who will be jumping into a dumpster in a bright daylight? So I had a great concern. I was ashamed. So, but still I jumped in. And I'm thanking God that no one really put any trash on my head while I was inside the dumpster. So after that, I was looking slightly to see no one is watching me. I jumped outside, and it was a little bit dirty. So because I don't know what kind of trash in there. So I went to home, and I used some wipes to wipe it off, Clorox to wipe it off. So while I was going, so God reminded me something profound. He said, this is the exact thing Jesus did in your life. Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. We all have sinned. Fallen short of glory of God. Like we all got stuck in a dumpster like that. The key cannot come outside by itself. Same way, meaning you cannot save yourself. You need a savior. For the key, I was the savior. But for all of us, Jesus is our savior. So Jesus came down. He was not ashamed. I was ashamed to jump into the dumpster. But Jesus was not ashamed. He came to save the sinner like you and me. He picked us up. He cleansed us with his blood. Today I'm carrying this key. Bible says God is the one who is holding us with his righteous right hand. He's upholding us. He's always loving us. He's cherishing us. He wants us to live for his glory. He wants us to be feeling loud. He wants us to be feeling empowered. He wants us to do what God called you to be. You are the sons and daughters of God. So, I just wanted to share one thing, and I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to finish. So several years back, I lived in a small village. And as I was living in a village, at the age of 13, I had a problem in my voice. I could not speak. When I spoke like a feeble voice. a kind of a thin, feeble voice. It's kind of almost equivalent to that of a lady's voice. So whenever I speak, everyone made fun of me at the age of 13. So I go to school, they all just make me feel ashamed. And when I go to my neighbor's home or relatives, they all really just reject me. I went through rejection, I went through depression. I attempted 2 to 3 times suicide because there is no hope for me. Every day I was living in shame. So I was living in the shame for 5 years from the age of 13 and till the age of 18. At the age of 18, I decided to quit school. I told my parents, I'm not going to school, I'm going to go to work. When I went to job, during my morning and evening hours, a lot of customers come. But during the afternoon hours, not many people come. So I decided to read the Bible. So as I was reading the Bible, book of Matthew, Jesus did a lot of miracles recorded in the Bible. There are 36 miracles that Jesus did has been recorded in the Bible. But Jesus did more than 36 miracles. But it's not enough for the Bible to write everything because the world is not enough. In one scripture says it is not possible to write everything Jesus did because he did millions of things. One place he went, Jesus healed all. How many people? We don't know. 1,000, 2,000, we don't know. So the thing is, as I was reading through all these things that Jesus did, everyone who came to Jesus asked this one thing. Do you believe I can do this for you? And everyone who responded, yes, Jesus, they were all received. They did not go empty-handedly. They were all received healing. I was asking myself, will Jesus do the same thing in my life? He did 2,000 years back. Will he do the same thing today in my life? But my parents told, you cannot just stay and do this job in this small shop. You got to go to college. They forced me to go to college. So I was sitting in the bus in a corner seat. Same like here, bus transportation is the common in India. So I was sitting in the bus. I was asking Jesus, God, I'm going to a new college. All these people in this small village, I know, small town, they know me, I know them. But now it is impossible for me to go there. I'll be surely get killed. So I was really having the fear of death, fear of slavery, everything, every kind of fear I had. So I was asking Jesus one thing. Jesus, before I get down, can you please heal me? Can you give me a brand new voice? I was crying literally on the window seat, weeping and crying. No one noticed me because I was on the corner. I was really closing my eyes. But as I was approaching my stop, my friend called me by name. I replied him with this voice, a manly voice that I'm speaking to you right now. Jesus healed me while I was on the bus. I got down with a new life, a new identity. My identity, people used to call me as so many different names. But Jesus have given me an identity. You are my brother. Your father is the daddy God. So that is the identity Jesus gave me. So that really encouraged me and empowered me. Then God told me that I'm going to send you to a different nation, which he did. In 2007, I went to US. And last 10 years, I'm living in US and I'm doing ministry. Wherever the churches, God opens the door, I go and share. And also I'm doing some ministry in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. And it is amazing to see that God is the same God who did the miracle in my life. The same God who healed before, he is able to do amazing things in your life based on your need. He's able. And also we see here in Malachi chapter 4 and 2. But for you who fear the name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wing. There was a woman who touched the edge of the garment of Jesus. The moment when she touched in faith, her bleeding stopped. That's what Bible says. It's amazing that as you today look upon God in faith, he is able to meet your needs according to his riches and glory. It doesn't matter how your past is no way compared to that of the future that God has for you. And today we are going to pray. As we see this passage in Ephesians 1:19-23, all things have been put under the feet of Jesus. That includes sickness, disease and everything, oppression or like evil or disease, everything God can able to solve for his glory. Because if you are a father, how much more you do for your son and daughter? You will do your best to see your son and daughter well. The same, if that is true, how much more our God? God said at one time, you being evil, doing good things to your children, how much more your loving heavenly father will give the promised Holy Spirit. It's amazing to see. And also we see the name of Jesus is above all names, including cancer or whatever the things that is really tormenting or binding. Nothing can stop the plan God has for your life because He is a good Father. Let's all stand up and we're going to pray. David said, I shall not die, but I will live. And I will declare the works and recount the illustrious act of God. Let's all close our eyes. We are serving a living God. The tomb is still open, wide open. He's no longer on the grave. He defeated and conquered death. Jesus conquered death. He loves you so much. He's able. He's available. He's willing. He's always doing greater things in your life. He's transforming you and shaping you to be the person who God called you to be. Not this world calling you. I'm saying, as you all close your eyes, let's all pray. God, whatever maybe the rejection your people are going through, maybe they have been rejected and abused by their parents or stepdad or whoever it is. I pray, oh Father God, let them know how much good daddy you are. You are caring for them. Today they are here breathing and also worshiping you, thanking you because of your goodness. The goodness of the Lord always overwhelms us. When God asked, when Moses asked God, God, show me your glory. God caused all the goodness to pass over Moses. It is amazing that the same God who raised Jesus from dead is living inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from dead is living inside of you. Thank you, glorious Father God. We come before you. Thank you, Daddy. In the name of Jesus, we come. And we pray for everyone of Father God, especially if there is anyone sick, if there is anyone weak, or if there is anyone in need. God, you are able. You are still able. You are a good daddy. You are the God who do amazing things. The same God who delivered me from my oppression, from my kind of depression, my times of lowliness, my time of low esteem. And you are the same God who is going to bring a breakthrough in everyone's life. I pray, oh Father God, touch their lives, transform their lives. Let them know your love. Let them know how good you are. Let them know how caring you are. You are an amazing God. You are a loving God. Thank you, Father God. We glorify your name. You did not, you spare not your son. And your word says how much more it is true that you give all other things along with your son. You did not spare your son, the only begotten son. You loved your son so much. You loved your son Jesus so much. But you thought about all of us. You thought about everyone standing here. You thought about us. You thought, Jesus, you thought about us while you are on the cross. You thought about me. You thought about Pastor. You thought about everyone. I don't want them to perish. I want them to come to my Father. I want them to come to heaven. I want them to be completely redeemed. I want them to be set free from the fear. No anxieties can hold them back. No death can hold them back. And nothing can able to stop them. And that is the prayer that you made. And that is the decision you made. And that really shows your love that has been lavished upon our hearts. Bible says the love of God has been poured into our hearts through Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. Thank you, Jesus, for this time of outpouring of your love, your care, your grace, and revelation. Your word reveals who you are. Your word reveals how good you are. And thank you, glorious God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm calling everyone, oh Father God, to live into the new identity as sons and daughters of God. No longer slave to sin. No longer slave to fear. No longer slave to anything. No longer slave to anything. But sons of God and daughters of God. Bless them abundantly. And I strongly believe you are meeting their needs for your glory. And bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.